We look in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 28. After preaching our last message, somebody taught me a new song. Y'all want to sing it with me? It's similar to one you know. And plus, they get all these fake people watching online that think we're all about money, so we can get rid of them right quick. Okay? The T-I-T-H-E. Yes, that's the amount for me. I stand alone on this amount. The T-I-T-H-E. Tithe! See? Now all the fakes are tuned out. That's what I was waiting on.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Matthew 28, verse 19. I like that. I think we should sing that to start every service instead of doing the pledges. What y'all think? That'd be just great, wouldn't it? There you go. Sing it for the offertory hymn every time. Yeah. I'm going to work on some words for that, brother, so we can get that thing. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What are we going to teach them? We got to teach them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, all of their sins, and he died for all of them, so they're all accountable. And we got to teach them that he died for their sins, was buried. Listen to this. Resurrected and he rose from the dead. He was crucified, buried, and rose again from the dead. And that his blood pays for our sins. I read an interesting comment this week that there's not a temple in heaven, somebody said. Well, that's the funniest thing, because God sits on the throne in the middle of that thing according to the Bible. And that's where Jesus put the blood at. On that place. And whether you believe it or not, the Ark of the Covenant isn't here. So why is that? God took that thing away from us. He saw the damage it was doing. So he took that thing away so there wouldn't be somebody like Hitler who would try to find it and take over the world. Did I say Hitler? I meant Biden. You better watch what you're doing this week. I'm going to tell you why. They arrested a man for reporting not what the mainstream media is saying about January 6th. They arrested a reporter. The last time that happened in human history is in the late 1930s in Germany. Somebody got voted into office and took down all the newspapers and disagreed with him. You better be teaching some people something. And you better teach them what I'm telling you right here. Teach all nations what? The gospel. The gospel. There's a tribe of people over off the coast of Australia. They taught them this stuff. And the guy started at creation, started teaching them about God creating the world and so forth on down the line. When they got to the part about Jesus, that crowd was so mad that nobody took up for him, they almost caused a riot within the village. But then the missionary explained to them, he had to do that for you. Then they started getting under conviction, and all about that whole village about just got saved. So what did he do then? Well, after he baptized all in, he went to another village and started over. What was he doing? Teaching all nations. You say, that don't seem like a whole lot of people. It meant a lot to them. Yeah. Just like, now you got saved. That didn't mean nothing to anybody else, but you admit to everything. And after you get saved, next thing he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. His instructions plain so far. And then he gets to this one. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. And I notice he said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he's talking about the very basics of Christianity. And we're looking at the converts class. Tonight's part 5. If I don't get to the end of this thing tonight, I'll get part 5B Wednesday night. Is that fair enough? Don't try to get all of it tonight. But what we look at is, he said, the things whatsoever I've commanded you. Peter said, we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. John said that which we have seen and heard in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We're supposed to come to church. Number 2, we're supposed to read the Bible. Number 3, we're supposed to study the Bible. Number 4, we're supposed to tithe. And tonight we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you turn your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to deal with this. And we're supposed to give the missions. It's something that's in the Bible. God gave it to us. And it's there for a blessing. Now, last week we looked at about that tithing thing, about how that the Bible says bring your tithes and offerings. Tithes is required. The offerings is whatever God lays on your heart. And your offerings is part of this right here, the missions thing. Now, what we look tonight is we're supposed to give to missions, and we start off with our missions praying. Our missions praying. And as we look at our missions praying, every week we give out this church. I can pull this thing out of here. we give out a prayer list, and on that prayer list is a simple thing. It's got some basic prayer requests on front, but in the middle, we got missions that we support by faith promise. And what we do is of course, we pray the Lord to open the door and give out the gospel locally. We pray for it to be worldwide as well. We got local missions we do here, home missions, foreign missions, and we pray for these things. And we pray for God to use this to teach folks to get the gospel out, and that these folks will go somewhere we can't go and get the gospel out, places we can't go, places we can't be at, and stuff like that. And what we do is our mission is praying. If you look down at verse number 3, we see the people that God uses. Number 1 is saved, baptized church people in verse 3 of Acts, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, for their power, talking about the Corinthians, to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And this is up in the churches in Macedonia. He's addressing the Corinthians. He's talking about how it was saved, baptized church people that get the gospel out and has reached all the way to where they're at in Corinth. What he's trying to teach them is, I'm trying to get y'all to get the gospel from where you're at to the next place. And it's all, listen, God don't want lost people funding a missions program.
Right.
That's why we don't do bake sales, cookie sales, yard sales, restaurant sales, or any of them other sales. We want that to be in tithes and offerings. The reason being, it cheapens the gospel to see church people selling pancakes to use for missions.
Yep. Amen.
I think that we've got this thing backwards. God said tithes and offerings, not sales and more sales. And one of the bad things is that people take a statement like I just made, and they'll say this. He don't believe in helping people. That is a lie.
Right.
Let one of you sitting here come up and say, I've got such and such cancer. I got 6 weeks, 6 months, or 6 years left to live. I can't afford medical bills. We'll get them Harley riding dudes to get on a motorcycle and bet out raffle tickets for you.
Amen.
You know why? That's a help to people.
Come on.
Don't sit there and be silent. You could be the one I'm talking about that's next in the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Listen, I ain't got no problem helping people.
Amen.
But when it comes to the work of the church, quit selling cupcakes.
Yeah.
You are cheapening the Lord Jesus Christ and His message.
Right.
If you ever wonder why people around here don't do nothing for the Lord, they've been given so many outs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our church can't afford it. Every car in the parking lot's got payments on it. You can't afford what? The building's worth $3.2 million. What is it you can't afford again?
Mm-hmm.
You say, you fussing us, preacher? You getting this?
Come on.
Either fuss with me or fuss at me, but keep going, amen. Listen.
Come on.
I'm sick of these churches with property worth $3 million. Something we can't afford nothing. You afforded something?
Yeah.
Real estate ain't cheap. I got an idea, though. Since real estate ain't cheap and you ain't doing nothing for God anyway, sell that thing, put a fish camp there. We're kind of down on them right now.
Right.
We got plenty of Mexican restaurants. Please don't open another one of them. But we could open another Chinese, but no more Mexican, please. And get us some good fish camps around. Put these people, give them competition, right?
Amen.
So you want churches? He said he wanted churches. No, I want these fakes to close down. I ain't doing nothing for God but selling cupcakes. You obviously get you ain't doing right, going to do right no way. I see a lot of people have a problem with that. Listen, the people God uses is not lost people buying cupcakes. He uses saved, baptized church members. That's who he wants to give here. That's very plain, ain't it?
Yep.
Not lost baptized church men, but God knows we got plenty of them. But I'm talking about saved, born-again people that's been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. This church folks is coming on us to do something for the Lord. He says, listen, here's what you do. We're going to start off with missions praying. The people God uses to do this kind of stuff, that prays for this kind of stuff, are saved, baptized church people. And they dedicated themselves to God. In verse 5 says, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. They gave their own selves. What are you supposed to dedicate to the Lord that's going to do all this? Three things. Time, talents, and treasures. Time, talents, and treasures. Take your time and use it wisely in your prayer time. Take your prayer list. Pray for these people. Listen, there's people right here who's probably in imminent danger every day of their life. One of you drives on I-85. I'd say pray for that person's traveling grace every day you wake up. Two of them I spotted. Three, four. That drive that dangerous I-85 every day. Lord have mercy. Here's a guy out in the Midwest, or out towards the West out there. He needs our prayers, definitely. You know why? They ain't like you.
Right.
We Americans. You may be, but you ain't like these Americans.
Right.
You know they call them United States because they're all 50 different ones, and they're all different, every one of them. Have you ever thought about that before? So how do you know? I can't understand them when they talk. That's how I know they're different.
Come on.
And that's just the ones in North Carolina. I ain't talking about the ones out yonder. We have language barrier here sometimes. You know how I know that? Mention hash, they say that's an illegal drug. Down here it's not an illegal drug, it's something we make out of beef and deer.
Yeah.
See, that's a language problem right there. Now I look on down this list, I look down here and I say, man, prison? Ain't that dangerous to be in prison right now? Oh no, they got it made in there. You do know they're in there for being bad, right?
Amen.
I don't care how innocent they say they are, there's some of the people cut your throat you come in there and talk to them like I'm talking to you tonight. You better go in under the hand of God and pray God protect them as well. Oh Lord, then you got a director on here. Dear Lord, that's gotta be a headache, just the directing title alone. Here's a guy who published Bibles. I wonder if the devil's after him. And knowing what he's went through his personal life, I'd say the devil's alive and well on planet Earth.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Here's a guy in here sitting there going to the Philippines. Well, at least he'll be the tallest guy over there, right, Brother Fane? And here we got another guy that's already over there. You know, I finally figured out why he went over there. So he can be the tallest guy over there, like Brother Fane goes. All right, you see all these guys down through here? Listen. A guy in Scotland, you think Gaffney's rough about people saying they say it over there? They'll spit in your face over it. You say, how'd that happen? You remember King James I of Scotland? That's the guy who authorized this Bible. The church he was, coronated in, shut down. We were going to have a King James Bible conference in that church over there. I was going to go over and preach it for them. Now the thing's shut down. They can't get in touch with nobody that knows how to open the doors. I told them I'd pay the rent. Can't get nobody to answer the phone. Ain't nobody there. Nobody works there anymore. And before they shut the door, you walked in the door of the place and there's an ad for the NIV in the foyer of the church. I'd like to ask you something. A non-profit organization, what they doing ads for selling stuff like that, wonder? King James, you know, the place with the... Anyway. Here's one to England. You say, what's wrong with England? I don't know, you've been reading the news lately? You remember that open borders thing we got? Well, they've already been overrun. They've already been overrun. Muslim mayor in England for the first time in 400 years. They've had a foreigner be the mayor, basically, in that country, in that city. You got a guy in Germany with the military. Here's a good one right here, Haiti.
Yeah.
All you guys that talk all that tough stuff and how tough you are, they just shut down every radio station down there today.
Wow.
You know why? You got to pay tribute to the gang to keep that on there. If you ain't paying tribute, they'll come kill you. Not shut you down, they'll kill you and they'll get somebody else to run it. They'll pay the tribute. So where are they going to get the money? Not their problem. You just go get it.
Yep.
Well, I'll call the police. They are the police.
Yep.
Remember, they took over the government?
Yep.
We're talking about praying, serious praying for missionaries, because that's something we need right there.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, here's these guys in Grenada. Bless their heart. You know what's down there in them islands? You know, we make fun of this stuff. We see a little rascal, see the little witch doctor come out and scare people. This guy dressed up. They're real down there.
Yep.
They'll walk up and talk to you and try to throw a curse on you and you're standing there. Well, I thought it was a vacation spot. Think again. The tour guide don't take everywhere they're at.
Yep.
I mean, we got all this stuff going on and people says, well, they got it made. I bet they do. I'd love to be the guy in Haiti and you said I got it made. I'd bring you down for a mission trip, and I'd pay you way just to see how you'd react after about 24 hours. Especially when them guys come to your door wanting a handout. And they ain't coming because they want a sandwich, by the way. They heard you had a few dollars. They're going to take a few of them. That happened at your house? Oh, I'll just run them off. Yeah, at your house, you. I'm talking about their house. So what's the difference? Well, they show up with a machine gun down there, you know. They're not playing with you. You better have the hand of God when you're doing something like this, because that's serious stuff I just read you right there. I stay in touch with these guys mostly as I can, and I'm amazed at stuff I hear. I'm thinking, man, you guys ain't in no island paradise like everybody thinks you are.
Yeah.
Any volunteers tonight? None? Well, shame on you. As tough as you are, you ought to be willing to go in there with a water pistol in one hand and blah, 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 right? What? Ain't that crazy? This world is dangerous. It is dangerous. I got a better idea. You like America, right? Won't stay here. Just be a missionary to Chicago, Illinois. It ain't like at the baseball stadium where the Braves go up there and play somebody, all them police around, the Bears and all them. I'm talking about going down on the south side and starting a church down there. So what's down there? People that live in America that are not like you. Ain't that crazy? Better yet, forget all them places. Just go to Detroit and start a church anywhere there. Not in the airport, outside the airport. Not near the football stadium over in that other town. Listen, it's so bad the Detroit Lions don't play in Detroit. You understand? Just go to one of them places. See, we've got a great task in front of us, and it won't get done without prayer. Okay? Second thing about these church folks and dedicating things, we got on our mission is praying, but our mission is paying. If you look in verse number 5 again, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Then that at verse number 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he says, I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. What do we see when we have our missions paying? They gave to missionaries. They pray for them and they pay for them. And it does it for one thing. And it said in verse 8 there at the end of that verse, to prove the sincerity of your love. You ever heard the expression, you can't unring a bell?
Yeah.
Like, once I found out what the Southern Baptist Convention was doing with their money, I couldn't be one no longer.
Yeah.
And by the way, we've been out 25 years and they ain't changed a bit.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That kills that whole we're getting better thing, don't it? That evolution thing, don't it? So I look at that stuff and I can't unring that bell and I also can't unring that one. Because to prove the sincerity of your love means this. If I love Jesus, I'm going to do what he just said.
Amen.
I'm going to give my own self. Before I ever drop a dollar on a plate, I'm going to give myself to the Lord.
Right.
And when I give myself to him, guess what happens next? Then I do what he says. You know why? If you love me, keep my what?
Commandments.
So we got our missions praying. We got our missions paying. We're going to do that so we can go out and prove the sincerity of our love. And get this. That's between you and Jesus.
Yep.
You know what he told you, and you know what to do. Okay? Third thing is our mission is partaking. If you look down at verse number 11, he says in chapter 8, verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. You see that thing? Verse 14 and 15. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So our mission is partaking deals with that word gathered. And when we look at gathered, we think about these things. Number one, in verse 11, there's a willingness and there's a performance. When people say they're willing to do something for the Lord, if there's a willingness, they'll do what God says.
Right.
And the easiest way to look at that is this. You got to do it where you're at. You got to do it where you're at. I ask missionaries when they come here, do you win souls at the church you're a member of? If the answer is no, I'll tell you this. They'll never win souls on the mission field, ever. They'll never try to win a soul on the mission field. You know why? They won't do it where they're at. And I promise you, it's easier here than it is over there going, and you're going, what did he say? Tony, your interpreter. Can you imagine how hard it is to talk to somebody here sometimes? You get a lump in your throat. You get scared of this stuff. You got a natural fear comes over you. Some of you's got anxiety issues. You're trying to talk to somebody. Imagine how to be over there for that. Well, if you won't do it here, there's no way you do it over there. And God help this crowd to only win souls when they go to the field. You're cheating your church here. But there's got to be a willingness here so there'll be performance there. And then what God wants out of you is not what you don't have. He wants what you have. I've heard these great stories over the years about, well, I told God I'd give $20 a week, and I walked up, and I didn't have no money at all, and there was a $20 bill laying on the ground. Do I believe that? Sure, it can happen all the time. You know how the Polish came to America? They came on the premise that there was money in the streets. True story. You should study history sometime so you'll be doomed to repeat it. Especially if you're in other countries like that and you want to leave here for it, how, you know, well, I heard that they're doing well, so I'll go over there. There's just money laying in the streets. They come over and find out something. Get a job. Get a job. You know what them immigrants are going to find out? They're going to switch political parties in that one office, and they're going to have to get a job or get out, one of the two. Well, they'll grant them amnesty. They don't want it. You know why? If you get amnesty, you got to pay taxes. They don't want to pay taxes, so that gets their money like it gets your money that they give into them.
Yeah.
Follow the money, please. Follow the money. Which one's the shell? Got the coin under. Which one's got the shell? That's all this is. But they know that thing's coming to an end, just like you know it's coming to an end. Let me run one by you. He said, God said, in verse 12 there, for his first be a willing man, except according to what a man hath. God ain't wanting you to pick some fictitious amount out of the air that you don't have to give to missions. He's wanting you to go by what he says.
Right.
And he's not going to take something from you don't have. He's going to take what you already have. So is he going to take all of it? Probably not. But he wants all of it in here first before he takes any more out of there.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be your wallet back there.
Yeah.
Or for you women. Unless you have a MERS. You ain't got one of them, do you? Okay, good. So if you do, you're fired right now. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Listen, I think that people's got to wake up and understand God wants you to give according to He's already blessed you, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And He's determining the amount. The reason people don't give to missions is real simple. That's why people, church people, don't do this. They'll come to the altar and say, Lord, what you want me to do? And there's silence. You know why? There's always been silence. They've never been born again. I've had people get saved during mission conferences. Ever tell them to pray to get what to give. Well, what if God ain't telling me? Have you ever heard from God? Have you ever read the Bible and been impressed by anything? Well, no. Maybe you just need to be born again.
Yeah.
Or even worse, you get somebody's backslid on God, and they get removed from God, and they get out of fellowship with God, and they're trying to fake it, and they constantly bitter, constantly bad-mouthing, constantly criticizing, and you say, what you going to get in missions? I don't know. I guess I'll do it. I don't believe in that no way. We're going to win them here before we go yonder and win them, or some garbage like that. You know what happens? Their heart gets hardened towards the work of God in everything they say and do. And the only person they think they're fooling everybody, and nobody's fooled by it. But more importantly, if you fool us, that's fine, but if you're fooling Him, He knows whether you're saved or lost. He knows whether you backslid on. He knows what your fellowship's like, and He knows what you're doing. My favorite thing here is, well, that's between me and God. Well, bless you, between you and God. Well, guess what? If I may illustrate this again this week, I think, yeah, I brought me one this week. I'm going to make somebody go get me one. I got one. Look here. We dealt with this box last time, the Lord's tithe. Over here's faith promise, 2 Corinthians 8:9. That's what you give to the Lord's work for missions. You put a date on it, put your name. Well, I believe that's personal, preacher. I believe that's personal. That's between you and God. You sound so spiritual, you God-robbing thief. Let me tell you something. When they required a tithe in the Old Testament, do you know where they brought it? They brought it to the front door of that tabernacle. Now, get this. It may not be that they were bringing a debit card. Can't you see the tabernacle wilderness, swipe your card and put it in your mouth? Now, listen to this. You walking past 2.5 million people. You don't think somebody knows that sheep crying out in your hand, or that goat, or even worse, you got that big old bull trying to pull him down there. Come on, come on. We got to get you down the thing. We got to slit your throat. Come on. I know it's just between you and God, though, right? I think they saw it.
Amen.
I think that's putting it in a thing like this. I mean, listen, you can hide this. Right? But they don't know if I need to know. First 2 years I pastored this church, I had a big problem here. I'll tell you what the problem was. I had somebody stealing out of this church. Stealing? They had steal from the house here? Remember that thing we read about you rob God and tithes and offerings? Well, instead of you keeping it in your pocket, robbing that, what happened? Just taking it out of the plate. Brother Cross came to me. We went to the bank and talked to these people. And she showed me how they'd done it on paper. Y'all ever get a speeding ticket? Surely not y'all. Sir, you're doing 75 and a 55. And you go, oh no, was I doing that? And he says, yep, afraid you was. But I see you got a good driving record. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to charge you with 60 and a 55. And that's going to make you pay X amount, right? But you see this little thing I made a little note for down here? Where it says 75/55. If you go to court and try to give that cop some trouble, you know that cop's going to tell that judge, he said, judge, I made a note on that ticket that they were really doing this. Yep. Man got a ticket the other day. You know what he got it for? You'll love this. 36 and a 35. They were on social media fussing about, how dare he give my kid a ticket for 1 mile over? I said, can I see the ticket? Oh, it wasn't 36 and a 35. That cop knew you, and that's why he charged him 36 instead of 56 and a 35. He knew their parents. And they going to blow up on him like that? Listen, I'm selling tickets for the court date. Do y'all want to go? I don't know if I'm going to be available that day, but I'm going to try to be. You know, you can just set them things. So what'll that mean? It'll be better than a wrestling match, don't you think? I mean, there'll be fireworks going off, music for their entrances, and then the main event, when that judge says, guilty, and then that meltdown that happens, he says, go sit in the can 3 days for your big mouth. I can't wait to see all this. Right? If what they say on social media is true, which is probably not, they're not going to do any of that, because somebody's eventually going to sit down and tell them that thing and show them that and say, your kid was kind of doing way above the law there. Happens all the time. Not my precious. Yes, that precious will do it.
Right.
Is that behind you got a driver's license? Yeah, she's saying no. Okay, good. When she does, and she comes home and says, Daddy, they gave me this ticket, but I wasn't doing it. I'm going to go ahead and prophesy. She's lying, okay? All kids do that. My kids, your kids, their kids, they all do it. Okay? Of course, I guess you already know this, don't you? Listen to me very carefully, friend. Listen to me very carefully. He need not. I know things too. Listen. But, what I'm saying is, when people start all that stuff and they say all that, they're exposing a side of them that's the real them.
Right.
How many of y'all believe when I said the guy got caught with 36? You already knew that was a lie.
Yeah.
How dare they? All I hear is Greta Thunberg. How very dare you? You know, yeah. Paid actor if I ever seen one. So you don't believe in climate change? It ain't happened yet, but it'll happen in about 1,000 years after the rapture. It's in the Bible. That global warming is going to be like that. And it ain't come on suddenly either. It's going to be quicker than an eyelash falling off your face. But I look at this thing about our missions partaking. God said, gather where there's a willingness there, performance. He don't want you half-nots. He wants you half. And he said, verse 14, your abundance supplies their want. And we say amen to that. We say, we got stuff extra over here we can send down there. But I want you to get this last part, verse 14, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. I've told you this a couple of times in the services, I'm going to tell you again. There are better things than financial blessings on your life.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the more you'll agree with that statement.
Amen.
It's like the old guy said, it's falling apart and he got to be 60. You know what he said? If I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself. When you get to this part about missions partaking, their abundance happens for your want. Every time you give that missionary, God may give it back to you in some other way than finance. Might be health. It might be emotional. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there's sometimes people go through things in life where they fall apart emotionally and they don't know why and they can't understand why things are going on. Every woman in this room above 40 years old, you know what I'm talking about. When men tell me, I don't believe in that imbalanced chemical stuff, after you're 55, come talk to me. I can prove it to you with one set of lab works that you got something wrong with you, that one chemical ain't quite there no more. You know, that's called a chemical imbalance. If you live long enough, it all breaks.
Amen.
There's very few people get out of this life without having some kind of problem. There was a guy we had a funeral for one time, and it was an open door Baptist church. I was sitting there at the funeral, and I never thought about it until the guy said this in preaching. He said, this man never wore glasses. 80 years old, never wore glasses. And I got to thinking, the whole time I knew that old guy, you'd hand him something to read, and it'd be smaller than this right here. He wouldn't be doing this focus business. Here, hold this over across the room where I see it. No, he just... Okay. Ain't that crazy? Man, make it do it. But he did have other problems, but one of them wasn't his eyeballs. That's a miracle. Somebody said that. Because mine went out about 20 years ago. I was up here preaching one day, and it got to blurry, and I thought, oh, Lord, this ain't good. So I felt led to stop the service. So why? I couldn't see what was in front of me. So what was wrong? I thought I was having a stroke. I didn't know what was going on. Everything got blurry. Come to find out I have a condition. You know what it's called? OLD. Listen to me. Their abundance for your want. What do I want? Well, I don't want $1 million. What would I do with it? Till God sees fit to hand it to me, I ain't going to do nothing with it because I ain't going to have it. Well, pray I win the lottery, preacher. What would you do if you got it? You don't have tithe now. What would you do if you had that much? Would you tip God at that point? You don't even tip the restaurant. Listen, you God-robbing thief, you don't even tip those waitresses. What are you going to do with God? They're 20%. God's only 10%. You don't even help him out with the work. Listen to me. Their abundance for your want might be you're giving the missions and God may be giving something you already got and even thanked him for it. It can't happen. You know what I did the other day? Somebody said, how are you doing? I said, I got two good signs going for me. And when I said signs, they said, you believe in signs? I said, oh, yeah. Ooh. You know what my two signs were? Breathing and walking. So that ain't signs. Well, you try to live without one of them and see how it works out for you. They'll say, how you doing? I'm doing great. Matter of fact, I am doing great. Breathing and walking is two good signs. See, I know people have trouble breathing. I know people can't walk. Those are two very good signs. I thank God every day and still do both of them. Now, I confess to you something this morning that I don't run anymore. It's not a want to, it's a can't, okay? But if I have to pep up and run, you know something's wrong. But here's the thing. If I can't walk, there's a lot of things that's going to take out of my life I'd like to do and can't. Can you imagine at least having to carry me out and put me on the lawnmower so I can cut grass? Set me up on the lawnmower. If y'all don't buy tickets, I'll get her to do it tomorrow. But listen to me. I see a lot of people take it for granted as they give to the Lord that the Lord's already given them stuff they're not even thinking anymore. I've been showing y'all my new toy I got on my phone. So what kind of app is it? It's the thing that's connected to my arm. It's a little monitor. It tells me what my sugar is. Do you know how much that's helped me in the last few days? I know I can tell after I eat something, I should have ate it or not. I kind of knew before from reading about it, but boy, the thing's real clear now. Here's a catch. I'm so thinking about this thing so much that it finally dawned on me to write that thing down as a blessing in my prayer book to thank God for, because before that I didn't know half what I thought I knew. I thought the way I felt certain times, certain things going on. Now that I got that, I know. You know what the craziest one is? It's when that thing drops low, sometimes I don't know it. I was showing Brother Brandon for a service, there's an alarm on that thing. And when that alarm goes off, you can't change the... If it goes off now, you better go ahead and call the police or the ambulance or whatever. Get the police to drive the ambulance down there. Because that thing, if it goes under 55, we in trouble. Thank God I got that thing. You know, the night I went to bed, slept sleeping good... Somebody starts to punch me. I hear alarms going off. I said, no. She said, your alarm's going off. I said, it ain't 7 o'clock. Go away. No, pull the covers up. She said, your diabetic alarm. That sucker's 60 and dropping. It's about to hit the point of no return. I looked at a big red thing flashing at me with that number. I was like, that ain't the alarm. It ain't 7 o'clock. Who cares what time it is? Where's something I can get in my mouth right quick to get this sugar back up? Lord, thank you for Faith Promise Missions. Thank you for Faith Promise Missions, because without that, I might not even have this little thing attached to me. I shook the guy's hand. Come here, brother. Show what I did to the guy earlier. Old friend from high school. Walked up to him. I said, brother, how you doing? And I went to grab him, to pull him close to me, to hug him. I said, you got a diabetic monitor. He said, boy, ain't them things a thing. I said, yeah, it is. By the way, brother Dean, he might weigh 140 pounds. I thought only fat people had diabetes. That's what one doctor told me. See, what do you call that doctor? You're fired. Called me fat like that. How dare you? Y'all broke up. You ladies have broke up with boyfriends for less than that. But listen, I'm telling you, your abundance of their want, and listen, that might translate to you something you might need that God's already blessed you with or going to bless you with. I'd rather hedge my bets and do what's right in case I need to draw off that account. You may not be driving around in a Mercedes and a BMW. You know what we saw today? It's the dumbest thing in Gaffney. You know what it was? I saw it today. A woman driving a Porsche that lives here. Now, her house may look like something setting up with toothpicks, but she's got a Porsche, you know. How much does a Porsche cost? Anybody know? Me neither. I never shopped for one. But I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you, God may not bless you like that, but he might give you a used Honda. Y'all see what I'm saying? When people start moaning about, oh, it's just so bad, I've noticed everybody in this church has one problem that gives missions regularly. You're doing better now than you were 5 years ago.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Amen. That's a fact. How'd you get like that? God's promises. See, all this, 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, that's all promises of God where he does what he says.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Will you do what he says? Will you do what he says? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.